Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 99, recorded July 1st, 2026.
Hey now.
Is this for real?
Wow. It's hot. It's hot out here. Hot. That's for real.
Yeah, I'm sorry the East Coast is getting a heat wave that's crazy. And I saw tomorrow is going to be even hotter for you guys.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to feel like 110 degrees tomorrow.
Dear God.
Yeah, but, you know, global warming, climate change is not a real thing. It's a hoax.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be high of 75 for me tomorrow.
It snowed this past winter, so.
That's crazy.
Nice. That's good. That's some good temperatures right there.
Yeah, it's going to be breezy and beautiful.
For July, beautiful.
All right, let's get started with some horror news. Ari Aster has written a Hereditary prequel.
Yep.
Nice. That's going to be good.
And according to goldderby.com, he has an article, an interview on there, says, I wrote a prequel to the movie. Ari said, it never feels like the right time to release it.
Oh, so it's been written.
Yep. No. It's a prequel. It's not a sequel, so I don't know where it goes.
Well, yeah, because the grandmother was...
Yeah, I assume it's going to be how they get involved with Paimon, you know, and how she's part of that whole cult. I wonder if we get to see more naked old people, but maybe they won't be old in it because it's a prequel. Maybe they'll be like naked.
Yeah, maybe it'll be like raising the mom, the grandma raising the mom.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's probably what it is.
And the son committing suicide or whatever because she was trying to get Paimon into him or whatever.
Oh yeah, there you go. They'll start as like a bunch of hippies or something like that, and then they'll like discover Paimon while they're tripping on peyote or something like that.
That would be good. Yeah, so I'm eager to see that. Hopefully he figures out how to release that.
Yeah.
All right. Obsession has surpassed Sinners in total global box office earnings.
Wow, such just like movie. That?
Yeah.
It's finally on streaming now, too.
Unlimited, as of today.
Limited streaming services.
As of today, yes.
I think I saw the director's cut, too.
Yeah, that comes out on the 14th on 4K, the director's cut. Okay. I ordered it.
Is that an A24?
I don't recall.
Trying to think who gets the rights to it. I'm always curious how fast and where it's going to go for free streaming.
I don't think it was A24.
What platform?
Maybe? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I think I might actually buy that.
Blumhouse.
Blumhouse.
So that's Prime, right?
Yeah.
That'll go to Prime when it's ready. Get to watch commercials.
Have to get that Blu-ray with the director's cut.
Yeah, it's called the Collector's Edition. They have a special DVD version, a Blu-ray version, and a 4K version. The version I ordered is 4K, Blu-ray, and digital. It comes out on July 14th.
Nice.
Curry Baker's indie horror film Obsession officially surpassed Ryan Coogler's Sinners at the global box office. Sinners grossed $370 million, while Obsession has grossed $371 million. Produced on a micro budget of $750,000, it dethrones Sinners, which had an estimated $90 million budget.
Wow.
And Obsession is one of the highest, is now the highest grossing live action English language original film of the 2020s.
How old is that kid, Curry Barker?
20-something?
Yeah. He looks like he's still in high school, man.
Yeah.
Sure does. I mean,
do you ever watch his YouTube channel videos that he made
years ago?
Fucking weird. They were weird.
I remember that one, like Milk and Cereal or something like that it was called. Was out.
Oh, did he do that one? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I haven't seen anything else. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Mike Flanagan's Exorcist movie has wrapped production, according to a post from him on Instagram. It's a wrap. Nice. What an incredible experience. Forever grateful to the extraordinary cast and crew. Exorcist, #Exorcist, @Blumhouse. So another Blumhouse film.
I'm really looking forward to that, though. It's got a great cast.
Yeah, it does.
And Mike Flanagan does good stuff. So, well, mostly good stuff.
Mostly good stuff. I got a feeling this will be great.
I hope so.
A new trailer has come out for It Ends. I don't know if you guys remember It Ends as a neon picture. It was actually highly acclaimed at South by Southwest this year. And it has Neon that picked it up for distribution. It releases in theaters August 21st, which they pound into your head in that fucking teaser trailer.
Well, yeah, I was going to say the teaser trailer you sent, I mean, wasn't a whole lot to it. Like, when
it didn't show shit.
I was intrigued by the little snippet I saw. I mean, but it could be anything, really.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Something ends, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but
it just kept flashing.
Yeah.
August 21st.
Yeah, that's funny.
Going back to Curry Baker, Curry Baker signs a new deal with Universal and Blumhouse Acoustic Atomic Monster for his next film, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Hollywood Reporter says that details are being kept in under wraps, but Barker provided the following statement, quote, "This film is something I've been excited to make for a while, and I'm thrilled to be reteaming with Blumhouse Atomic Monster and Universal Film Group for it. They've built the kind of home for bold, original storytelling that every filmmaker dreams of, and I couldn't imagine a better collaborators for this film."
Nice.
So we don't know what it's about, but it's something he's had long ideas about, and it looks like they all agreed it was good and signed him on.
Sweet.
Yes.
Yes.
This week, the new trailer for a teaser trailer for Werewolf, the new Robert Eggers film, came out.
Yeah. Definitely looks like an Eggers movie.
For sure. Yeah. And I'm excited to see it.
I think it looks a little bit more. What am I trying to say here? Like Nosferatu, for me, like, it was the same old story told over and over again. I mean, it was great, the cinematography and the period piece, but this looks like it's got a little bit more horror element to it than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
It almost seems like the same kind of vibes that The Witch gave.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited for that. So synopsis says on the bottom of the trailer, "Witness Robert Eggers' most visceral and haunting experience yet. Focus Features presents Werewolf, a harrowing tale of devotion, damnation, and the devil within."
Satan?
Hello? Oh, sorry. another teaser came out this week for the Blair Witch Project reboot in 2027. The only thing that's in the teaser, and it's all over the internet, all over social media, is one of the little stick figures floating in a tree, like twisting. And it says, in sticks, it says 9/27, 9/24/2027. So
nice. Is it supposed to be like a reboot or something?
It's a reboot. It's a straight up reboot.
Okay.
According to the little bottom thing of the screen there, it says, "A reimagining of the Blair Witch Project, Atomic Monsters, James Wan and Blumhouse's Jason Blum are producing the film by Roy Lee, who previously produced the 2016 film Blair Witch."
I got to be honest, it took me forever to watch it, and it had gotten so much hype that by the time I finally did watch it, I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it the week it came out, and the one thing I remember about it is it made me nauseous.
Yeah,
like the handheld camera, I couldn't fucking handle it. I couldn't handle it.
I agree.
I had to sit. I had to put my head down and like not look at the screen because it was making me physically ill.
A pile of twigs in the parking lot when we left the theater. It was kind of fun. I thought it was fun.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just disappointed because it had gotten so much hype. But by the time I finally saw it,
I mean, I thought the ending was good. It was creepy.
I'll probably see this, but I'm not excited to see it. I'll probably see it at some point. But
all right, the next story: Jemaine Clemente and Taika Waititi are writing the Werewolves script right now.
Nice.
According to Collider, Janine Calente and Taika Waititi are finally writing the werewolves script. They made some comments about how the original What We Do in the Shadow script wasn't a script. It was an outline of a story, and they improvised the entire movie.
Nice. I mean, yeah, makes sense, but it was still a great movie.
Yeah, and they said this time around, because they wrote the script for the TV show instead of doing improv, they're thinking about trying to write an actual script for this film. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it because What We Do in the Shadows is one of those films that I didn't expect anything much from it. And in 2015, I like rented it from Apple TV and I'm like, holy shit, this is a great film. And I started telling everybody about it. Like, oh, it's the greatest.
Well, yeah, you guys told me about it. I hadn't seen it. You guys both kept like hyping it up. So I finally watched it. I'm like, wow, this is a great fucking movie.
Yeah.
And then the series was really good too.
Yeah.
Jermaine Clement has a new show on Hulu, I think, doesn't he?
Oh, really?
It's like an anti-romantic comedy, I think they call it.
Interesting.
Alice and Steve, I think it's called. Steve and Alice, I don't know.
Steve and Alice?
I put it on my list to watch. I like him a lot.
I have to check it out. Zach Cregger's Barbarian is finally getting a physical media release.
You I didn't know it wasn't until it right I saw now. That.
Yeah, you can order it on groove.com. You know what else was announced this week? A collector's set, box set with the scripts and all the other fun stuff of the Human Centipede trilogy.
Nice.
Now's your chance, Chris.
Yeah. No, thank you.
You know, the funny thing is, when the kit said it came with Human Centipede 3, I'm like, I didn't know there was a third one. I only saw the first two.
I've seen three.
Yeah, I definitely haven't. I didn't even know there was a third one.
This could be like an extended director's cut, and it's like an additional hour of them.
It comes with a suture kit. Too,
all right? Yeah. Mouth.
So you can play at home.
Yeah, you can play at home. That's fucking great. New.
Cuttlefish.
New from Whammo, the Human Centipede Home Kit. Oh, man, I can see it now. Late night advertisements on TV. Learn how to stitch your family ass to mouth. All right. Backrooms is also getting a physical release with the Everything Must Go edition. Adds 15 additional minutes to the film.
Haven't seen it yet. I'll probably wait till
surprisingly frightening.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Another great independent film, man.
I'll watch it when it comes out on streaming. I think because of Mortuary Assistant, I'm a bit soured on video game adaption movies right now.
Yeah. The next story, Warner Brothers sets a Siren Head movie made by Brian Duffield to direct the script penned by Zach Cregger. So Zach Cregger's on a writing fucking frenzy. This is according to Deadline. And just in case you didn't know what Siren Head is, in the article they outlined that it was unveiled in August 2018 by Henriksen, a Canadian horror artist and illustrator. The Siren Head intellectual property revolves around a hand-drawn monster digitally composed into real photographs. The character is roughly 40 feet tall, gaunt, emaciated humanoid figure with a predator hunting in rural towns and wooded areas across North America, which blends into the environments and emits a creepy distorted audio broadcast to confuse and lure in its prey. Siren Head's rise to mainstream visibility was accelerated by Markiplier, the content creator behind Iron Lung, who began covering the property on his YouTube channel in 2020. Fan-generated content racked up by the millions of views.
This was a video from there, game. Yeah, I recognize it. It's a video game, I think.
Yeah, from there, it became a fixture of horror content across social media.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it years ago, but I didn't realize that someone was interested in, and Zach Cregger wrote the script, so hey, maybe it's awesome. All right, I got one more news story here, and that is Evil Dead Burn is the most violent Evil Dead film yet, according to Instagram. Evil Dead Burn unleashes the franchise's most savage and terrifying ride to date, blazing into big screens with an all-new chapter of carnage and demonic mayhem. After the loss of her husband, a woman seeks solace in her in-laws in their secluded family home. As one by one, they are transformed into deadites, turning to gathering into family reunion into a hell. She comes to discover that the vows she took in life live on even in death. According to the director, there is a scene in the movie that is not R-rated that had to be pulled. It's really, really hard scene, and I had to cut it or risk an NC-17 rating, unfortunately. So you just won't experience it as brutally as it is then in the theaters. However, we are going to bring it to a director's cut.
It's already pretty brutal. So, I mean, I can't imagine what that scene was.
I'm looking at all this stuff on these reviews on Instagram. It's like, this one guy says, mean, nasty, and quite possibly the most brutal film I have ever seen.
Damn!
Sebastian Vanek brings a new French extremity edge to the Deadites, in which cuts deep emotionally and physically. Its sick sense of humor makes a perfect new member of the family. There was a lot of very kind of funny scenes in it. There's comic relief. There's a lot of tension and violence, and then a little bit of comic relief.
That's Evil Dead, right? I mean, I don't think the last one had enough. I mean, I loved Evil Dead Rise, but I don't think it had enough of the comedy blended in with it. Like, it sounds like this does.
Yeah, this was just a near perfect film. It was impressive.
Wow.
And it picks up right where the last one left off, which is amazing too.
Nice. Well, we're going to go see it sometime here in the next... What's it come out, the 10th?
The 10th, yeah.
We'll have to figure out.
I went to the fan screening last night. It was jam-packed. Sam Raimi was there. I mean, there were a lot of stars there. It was in Beverly Hills there? At the Sabin Theater. I didn't see him, so I don't think he was.
That's a bummer.
I know that he's going through some cancer stuff right now. Yeah. So maybe he wasn't able to travel to LA.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. But it was just, I can't believe this is this guy's second film.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we watched that other one, that Infested, which I liked a lot. Yeah.
Some other comments from Instagram. I just saw Evil Dead Burn, and it's a total blast. The scares are relentless. The gore is absolutely insane. And the Deadites have never been more terrifying. Brutal kills, intense atmosphere, and a horrifying new chapter to the franchise. Do not miss it on July 10th.
Nice.
This one here, another guy named Peter Gray says, it's a glorious, mean-spirited, and violent to the point it might even be offensive. It doesn't stray from the series formula, but its dark humor and hard R rating are in some killer tracks and one-shots that give it personality. I winced and I had a ball.
Awesome.
Dude, there are some scenes in it. Just when you see it, it's so violent, so disgusting. The whole audience a couple times was like, oh my God.
I mean, I was already excited to see it. Now I'm even more excited.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Even the guy that I took, the friend of mine that I took with me was like, holy shit, that movie was insane.
Nice.
All right, that's all I got for news.
You guys got anything? Yeah, I've been watching Widow's Bay on Apple TV.
How is it? I watched the first episode and then didn't get to the rest.
It took a bit to kind of build. It kind of reminds me of Fargo. Like, it's kind of quirky, you know, and off center, but it keeps you coming back, and it's starting to get more and more creepy. Like, once I hit episode 4, I was like, oh, all right, I'm into this now. But coming into episode 4, I'm like, I don't know what the hype is about this. I liked it.
Nice.
Yeah, and I think I told you guys I watched the Faces of Death last week. I really liked that a lot. I thought it was a great reimagination and homage to the original.
But doesn't it make you wonder why did they shelve it for so long?
Yeah, like, I thought it was really good. I was like, wow, this did really well. Like I thought it was excellent. Like I was not expecting
Shudder, right? It just popped up on Shudder, I think.
Did it?
Yeah, I think so.
I spent the $3.99 to watch it on Prime, but
waited.
Yeah, I know, but I was bored and was looking for something good to watch, and I remember Sal saying it was good, and so I thought it was really good. I was not expecting much, and I was pleasantly surprised.
The main antagonist, that guy, from Stranger Things.
Yeah, he played the brother that turned into like that fucking like demon or whatever. He was awesome. Like
he was a fantastic actor.
I'm like, I know that guy from somewhere. I was like, where the fuck do I know him from? Yeah, he plays an excellent like bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. That's all I have.
Sweet. Nice. I'm playing a video game right now. It's called Chronos: The New Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking awesome.
What's
Bluebird? It's Bluebird. So they did Dead Space, I think.
Mm-hmm. So it's a space-based movie.
Bluebird team. I think they did. It's like a space horror. It's fucking amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, it's hard though. They don't give you a lot of ammo and stuff. But it's cool.
Cool.
You know, it's funny when you say the game is hard because while I was standing in line for this movie last night. There were two people there that had the Evil Dead video game t-shirt on. and I said to him, I said, dude, I bought that game alongside it, and it was so fucking hard. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I know. Nobody really played it because of that. And then they took it offline. I'm like, yeah, it was too hard.
Yeah, they could have made that game so much better. And it was so disappointing.
The concept was great. They just should have made it more of a casual game and not so fucking difficult.
Well, Silent Hill 2, also the Bloober team. It's kind of cool.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Layers of Fear. I played that one.
Oh, shitballs. I'm supposed to do the 5 flicks to watch.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't. Give me a second. I can do it live right now. Just watch.
We'll do it live.
It's fine. Yeah.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. Do it live, damn it. All right. Let me see. I'm going to pick Shudder. So Shudder. And let me pick 5 flicks to watch. And here we got Faces of Death.
There you go.
It says coming soon. So that one appears July 10th on Shudder.
Okay. All right.
Anything for Jackson. That's one we reviewed and I like it.
Yeah, that was pleasantly surprised. I was pleasantly surprised by that one too.
Yep. Cabin in the Woods. Another great film that's up there on Shudder this month. And 30 Days a Night. Ooh, that's also up on Shudder this month.
Yeah, that just popped on not that long ago.
I'm about to watch that this weekend.
Yep.
Great film. Great film. Coming to 4K soon, thankfully.
Oh, sweet.
I've been waiting forever for that one. Is that 5 of them?
No,
we got 4. One more.
Oh, I got one more? Okay. Dead Snow. Come on.
That's
a classic right there.
Yes, that sir.
Popped up too.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Dead Snow, that is one you need to see. That is a good one.
And it goes with our theme.
Yep.
Yes. All right. There you go. There's 5 flicks to watch on Shudder. All right. Next, we've got a top 5 list. This month it is Craig, Sal, Chris. And the top 5 is 5 horror movies with the word dead in their title.
It's a good one. That's a nice one.
Yeah. And fitting for Sal, who knew?
Yeah, right.
He would be going to a movie.
It may or may not be on my list.
With dead in the title, it might be.
I just want to say that I could have put the Evil Dead like as ever, like.
Yeah, no, you.
I could have done my top 5 as like all Evil Dead movies, but I did not do that. I used it as one, and then thought of other movies. So
yeah.
But they're all up there. Like I was like, man, I don't want to make every fucking movie an Evil Dead.
I did
movie.
The same thing, but I just took them off. I was like, I just
pick
my favorite.
All right, okay.
Number 5, Dead Snow. Just talking about it.
Nice, yeah.
Number 4, surprisingly at the bottom ish of my list was Night of the Living Dead.
It's a good one.
It's, you know, it's a really good classic.
It is. I mean, that's like the original zombie. Well, yeah, not original, but like the first like popular zombie movie.
It's losing its thunder.
Comparatively speaking, but it still holds a special place in the annals of horror.
Even the story, you know, the story was really good. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that was number four. Number three, Dead Silence.
Oh, yeah.
I take an opportunity. I'm surprised that wasn't my number one, but
it's a great movie. That was James Wan's first, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, for a first movie, it's fantastic. Yeah. Number two, Brain Dead.
Or also Dead Alive, right?
Also known as Dead Alive. Yep. Yeah, I should have put a slash because Dead is in both titles.
Yes.
Yeah, the reason for that is because Brain Dead was already a titled movie in the U.S.
Yep. So Dead Alive. Yeah, the Dead Alive version of Brain Dead. Number one, I went with Evil Dead. Number two.
Wait, you hear my list. Wow.
Okay. I mean, this people will accuse us of coordinating this, but it's not the case. All right. My number five, Dead Silence.
Okay. He's got it on there. That's good.
My number four, Evil Dead.
Okay.
The original or the
original Evil Dead. The original Evil Dead. My number three is Night of the Living Dead, the grandfather of zombie films.
Yep.
My number two, Dead Alive.
Okay.
My number one, Evil Dead Burn.
There you go. Oh.
That's unfair. That's unfair. We haven't seen it yet.
That's a goodie.
Are we doing any honorable mentions or no?
No, I don't have any.
No. I have a couple, but all right. So
you can rattle them off if you want.
All right. So my number five is Dead Snow.
Yep.
Which I loved that movie. It was such a fun movie. Yeah. Number four is Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah. I was on the fence about that one.
It was one of the very first really gross movies that I saw.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was on my list, but I scratched it.
Yeah, me too. That's what I said.
I was like, eh.
It was kind of like a punk rock movie too. You know?
Yeah,
kind of.
Fun. Yeah, it was fun. My number three was Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
Yep.
My number two, Dead Alive.
Dude, your number three and your number two were the same as mine.
Yep. And my number one, Evil Dead 2.
Look at nice.
So I said, wait to hear my list. So I have honorable mentions. First honorable mentions is all the other Evil Dead movies. I'm just going to lump them all together. Dead Silence and One Cut of the Dead, which was a fun Japanese
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Comedy horror flick. Yeah, so our lists were very, very, very similar.
For sure.
Yeah, damn. And I'm telling you, people, we did not coordinate this list.
And there are a lot of movies with the title Dead in them. So,
of course. Of course. All right. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So the movie this month is Dead Male from 2024. And this movie was picked by Craig. Let's talk a little bit, some details of the movie. Synopsis: on a desolate Midwestern country road, a bound man crawls towards a remote postal box, managing to slide a blood-stained plea for help message into the slot before a panicking figure closes in behind him. The note makes its way to the country post office and onto the investigating desk of Jasper, a seasoned, skilled dead letter investigator.
Jasper.
Yeah. Responsible for investigating lost mail and returning it to its sender. As he investigates further, Jasper meets Trent, a strange yet unassuming man who has taken up residence in the men's home where Jasper lives. When Trent unexpectedly shows up at Jasper's office, it becomes clear that he has a vested interest in the note and will stop at nothing to retrieve it. Director Joe DeBonner and Kyle McConaughey. Wow, two directors. Producer Zach Whale and Brett Arnott. Screenwriter Joe DeBonner and Kyle McConaughey. Distributed by Shudder. The production company is Alarmist Entertainment and Contact Light Films. The genre is horror, mystery, thriller, crime. Original language is English, and the original release date for streaming was April 18th, 2025. The runtime is 1 hour and 46 minutes.
Do you know what the budget was in that film? I can't imagine it was a very big budget.
Yeah, I would imagine it's very, very low budget.
I think on purpose, too, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the as a period piece, they did a really good job of capturing what I would have expected to see, like, perusing through, you know, Blockbuster Video or even like West Coast Video back in the day and just picking up, you know, like videos and being like, I'm going to check this one out. This seems like it'd be an interesting movie. You know, it definitely had those, they did a really good job making it seem like a 80s, you know, movie.
Yep.
So I like that about it.
Even the way they filmed it, it had some, like, you know,
yeah, graininess to it. Yeah, even, I mean, they did a really good job, like with the technology and with the you know, cars and stuff like that. And
yep,
I thought that was really
good. I kept trying to look for, you know, mistakes, like trying to find something that was modern in it, and I couldn't. I think they did a nice job hiding everything. Yeah.
What do you want to say? Yeah. Like 81, 82 was it supposed to
take place? Early.
Yeah, it was definitely
sure.
Early 80s because they were just getting big on the synthesizer, which was you know, very. Key to the movie was the synthesizer, which is kind of why it's kind of why I thought you picked it, because I know you're really into that new wavy kind of.
I was trying to pick a movie that wasn't me typically, and
yeah.
I thought it looked like maybe it had a little comedy to it, which I think it did a little bit.
It did, you know, it was quirky, and it started off like really slow for me, and for a while there I was like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna make it through this movie. But then I got interested in the story, and I got interested in the characters, and I had no problem finishing it. Like,
it picked up halfway through, and you're like,
yeah, same here.
You want to see what happens?
Now, what I consider a horror by modern day like ideas of horror, no, maybe in 82 that could pass as like a you know. Horror, you know,
they threw the crime drama thriller and
yeah. It's horror adjacent crime thriller.
I agree. I liked the characters. I thought the acting was decent, you know.
Yeah, the creepy weird dude was
Trent Willington. No, that guy was fucking awesome.
I thought
he sold it.
Was Josh the guy who was his captive? I thought he was pretty good too, you know. Like I thought it, and even what's his name, the guy Jasper. I thought Jasper was good.
Yeah, it kind of reminded you of Napoleon Dynamite a little bit too, right? The characters.
Yeah, it was like quirky. It was like it definitely.
It's clear that dead letter investigator took his job seriously.
Yeah,
because I was like, what the fuck?
I was sort of letter. Disappointed with what happened too. I was like, damn, I thought he was like the star of the show. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, you're like, whoa.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and for a moment I was confused because after he's, well, let's just say we're gonna spoil this a little bit here. So if you don't want to hear spoilers, stop now, and come back later after you see it. But after he smacks him in the head with the hole punch,
you got him good.
Yeah, and then they kind of go back in time to tell that story. I was a little caught off guard because they didn't make it very clear that that's what was happening.
No, and they did that a lot throughout the movie.
Yeah. But he didn't take his belt off, and I thought that he was going to get ready to strangle him. And then
he did. Like, yeah, they showed that he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, Jasper gets this letter at the post office, and he's like this sleuth. Kind of, he's like it's kind of cool, his character. Like I said,
yeah, and he's got that guy that I don't know if that he's European. He's somewhere in Europe, I think, or I don't know. He speaks European because. Or whatever foreign language he was talking to that guy there for At first I was like, wait a minute, is this a foreign flick? Like what the hell just happened here? Like,
but not only that, I'm like, is this like a spy flick? Is he like a spy or something? But no, he's just a fucking dead letter investigator. And like, but he takes his job very seriously.
He's very thorough. He's very thorough. Which all of his coworkers said about him, like, you know, he could find anything. Like he tracked that shit down. Got that girl her necklace back. Well,
yeah.
She never got it.
Didn't. Yep.
because Trent fucking melted it down and put it in his ice cream, that sick fuck. Yeah, it was good.
It was different for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, there was something else I wanted to say, and then
yeah, it was heavy on synthesizer. I mean, this guy was inventing synthesizer.
I did find the soundtrack to be a little bit annoying.
Sometimes it built tension, though. I noticed.
Yeah, it did, but sometimes it was
for the wrong
reasons,
though. Because I was like, "Ah, it's like horrible," you know. And it's like a killing scene where he's like swinging the hammer, and it's like,
"Yeah, yeah." There was what the fuck? There was something I definitely wanted to point out, and I can't remember what the fuck it was now. Damn it! Damn you, old age.
Yeah, it's a bitch.
But it was different. Like, it wasn't what I expected, but it was certainly different.
No, it got a lot of good reviews. Like, I think didn't Rotten Tomatoes get, it got like a 85% or something like that. Like,
yeah, so right now, just looking, you know, the popcorn meter, which is audience, is 64%. The tomato meter, which is, you know, actual critics, 93%.
93. Yeah. I thought it was like in the
80s. Now, I understand. I think I kind of understand why the cinematography was pretty damn good. Like, yeah, a lot of the scenes were positioned in a very interesting way.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's part of like what kept me watching it and not falling asleep, is that the cinematography was amazing. Whoever the director of photography was did an amazing job. The way that characters were positioned in frame, like the backgrounds, like everything was very interesting to see.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, and it definitely made you feel like you were watching a movie from like 82 or whatever.
Yeah.
They did a great job with that. And even the angles and the graininess of the film, I liked that.
And I did. I liked the characters. I thought it was written pretty nicely. Like I said, I like, it sound like Sal didn't, but the way they jumped back and caught you up and kind of helped break up the movie a little bit.
I mean, it was fine. It's just that it caught me off guard because I was trying to figure out, like, wait a minute. Oh, they're back in time. That's what's happening.
Yeah, I'm thinking if they would have done it linear, it wouldn't have been as interesting.
Correct. Like, you know, probably.
I think that like made you want
to. Yeah, you're like, oh, you know, what happened to Jasper? You know, because I said that happened quick. I was like, fuck. You know what I mean? I was like,
yeah, because I thought he was going to be a main character. Then they just bash him in the head and strangle him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, now what? I was like, oh shit.
Now what?
And then like the last, like the third act, it was like his two coworkers were then like on the case, which I was like, oh, you know, we saw them early on. And then, you know, they did the flashback to what happened between Trent and Josh. I think his name was Josh. And you kind of forgot about them. And then they went back to the future, back to the present. And it was those two girls, and I thought they were really good too.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was kind of cool. Like, they showed the different perspectives. You know, when Trent walked into the post office.
Yeah. Like what? Like those scenes from earlier on that we saw.
Yep.
With him in the background, or like what was happening as Jasper was going to leave, but then coming back and stuff like that.
Because originally you just saw him leave and say, you know, the coworker lady just said, you know, time to go, everybody. And that's all you saw. And then, you know, when they took it back, they showed Trent like sneaking through and how he got in.
Yeah. Trent plays a creepy guy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Whoever that actor was.
He was just fucking great. Like, I was
amazing, right? Just
I was enthralled by his performance, man.
And then I felt kind of, at some point I started feeling bad for him.
Well, like, that's part of the story, I think, right? Is
like, yeah.
He's like lonely and desperate. And then it's kind of, you know, because his friend left or whatever, and he had regret. And I think that's what the ending, I think.
Yeah.
Is why he's sort of like, you know, I screwed up and it's not worth it or whatever. But yeah, no, he did a nice job.
Worse.
Like, I sort of, you felt that. And you felt a lot of different things from his perspective. You know?
Well, but it was his lack of his sense of self-worth. That he thought that Josh was like bouncing on him to go work for Japan. And then Josh had that cassette tape that, you know, that he played, and he was naming the chord after Trent, you know, like it was going to be now called the whatever Trent's last name was, thing on that synthesizer, which is
the Wynwood. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm like,
what was it called? Trent Tilling
Westwood or something. It was like Westwood or something like that. And
yeah.
And then Trent's like, oh shit, I really fucked. He did. He like all that.
And then
shit
at the end, he just kind of sat there crying and eating while listening to that tape.
Eating the rat poison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It was good. I liked it. Not a horror in the traditional sense, but horror adjacent, I would say.
Yep. Yeah. 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 I mean, what else can I say? I would, like you said, in the beginning, at first, I thought, well, this is going to be a shitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it turned out pretty decent.
Yeah. I was, because Kim asked me afterwards, she's like, what did you think? I'm like, I liked the movie. Like, it was a good movie. I said, I don't know if it was a horror per se, but it was a good movie.
Yeah, Carmen said the same thing. She's like, you know, how was the movie? I said it was a movie, and I said it was good. You know what I mean? But like, it wasn't really a horror.
Right. Not in the traditional sense. Yeah,
I probably wouldn't have watched that movie otherwise. I don't think so. I'm glad I watched it. And you know, like you said, you try to find something different, and it was. I was pleasantly surprised after that first like start of the movie.
Yep.
Should we go through our different
let's go categories? Through our rating process of this and see what we come up with in terms of star rating. So
yeah, I was going to pick We Bury the Dead, but like I said, I changed because it was, you know, that was out in the theaters, I think, and stuff too.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's going to be too easy of a pick.
First step here we got is visuals. What do we think about the visuals?
I gave that a 4. I think, like I said, I liked the cinematography. I liked the camera work. I liked that it brought me back to 82 or wherever.
Yeah.
The hell it was supposed to take place. So
I'm with you.
Yeah, I think 4 is good. Yeah. Let's do a 4. All right. Sound design.
I went 3 with that. It was okay. Wasn't anything special. Didn't suck. Like, the synthesizer, I think, was part of the plot. So, you know.
Yeah, outside of that, there wasn't anything, like, I could think of that was, you know, like when he whacked him over the head or, yeah, I don't know.
That was just a thud.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like,
yeah.
So, yeah, no, 3's good. Yeah, the synthesizer worked in some spots, and like I said, it
just got to be a bit much. Let's go with the 3. Exactly. Yeah, I understand that it tried to build tension, and it did, but then there were times where it was just like a shrieking noise. I'm like, God damn, that sucks.
Yeah. And it was, used throughout the whole movie too, right? So
Yeah. It was nonstop, the background sound.
You just buried it in the background, you're like, oh, it's like...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's because that's what the movie was about, really. It was about, you know... So it makes sense.
Yeah, and they were trying to portray some emotionality to that sound in all the scenes. You could see the effort.
And a lot of the B-ish 80s movies had synth. Like that was the sound you heard in a lot of the shit. Yeah. So
all right, let's take a look at acting. The acting, I think, was on point.
Yeah.
My thought, 4 at least.
Yeah, I would give it. I was between 3 and 4, but I would say 4. I thought they all did a great job.
I'll bump it up to 4.
Considering they weren't like, I mean, they're professionals, but they're not any like A-list actors.
Like you said, the budget, you know, wasn't big, but like you said, they did a nice job like rounding up those people.
This is what I used to measure as a standard. I looked at it and I'm like, you know, it's not Cannibal Mukbang.
Correct.
Or All the Devils Are Here.
Right. I mean,
correct.
Even by those standards, this was a fucking amazing acting in this film.
No, but like you said, that Trent guy, I mean, his fucking, he fucking nailed it, dude. He
played really a great baby, dude.
Story. How do we feel about the story? It was interesting.
Yeah.
It was not a horror film, but it was an interesting story.
But it's totally different. Like, you've never seen anything like that. I mean.
Yeah. I would give the story a 4.
I'm going to say 3.5.
Yeah, I was going to go 3.5.
That works. 3.5 is good.
We'll go 3.5. I don't want this to come out as a 5-star film.
The next one's going to knock it down for me.
Yeah.
There you go. The fun or fear factor. And
I gave it a 1.
Yeah, it was neither fun nor fearful.
No, no, I gave it,
it had a little bit of fun. I mean, there's certainly zero fear.
Right.
It had just a small amount of fun.
I agree with a one. What do you think?
Yeah. Sure.
All right.
Yeah, if you need something to drive the average down, we'll
yeah. And again, I liked the movie, but again, I don't think it was. It wasn't. I didn't get excited at all. I wasn't scared.
Like
at
I
all.
Said, I thought it was fun. Like at the very beginning when Jasper was doing his shit, that was kind of fun to me.
Yeah,
his character, I thought that was kind of fun. Like I said, it had moments, but yeah, not a ton.
But and the thing too is that. There was nothing very exciting about the film.
No, not at all.
You know, there was no moments of excitement or.
Yeah.
Well, it was a movie about dead mail. Like it took place in a post office. And it was a guy who searched for who owned mail.
Yeah. How that's exciting
not,
can
I, imagine
it get?
That's not fun at all. let's make a movie about a mail room.
But make it a dead letter detective
who we murder in the first act.
Yeah. I was just saying, he's gone. Right. So it's like, here goes the fun factor.
Yeah. All right. Well, that gives us a American Nightmare podcast total score of 3.5 for Dead Letter.
Which is admirable
for a movie.
Not
that
bad
was-
for an independent film like that. All right. Let's do a little wrap up outro here. I just want to say, as always, thank you for listening to the American Nightmare podcast, listening to us rant and rave and talk like idiots about horror films. And thank you for nothing, you pricks. Nobody's sending us any email. Thanks. Nobody's sending us any top five list. Nobody's sending us any movie suggestions. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, maybe we won't even do 100th episode. Just to fuck you. Like, fuck you.
We're done.
We're
skip
this
it and go not right even, to 101.
That's right. Because nobody cares.
Yeah, don't be lazy. If you're too lazy to write an email, you can call us 1-562-247-5855 and tell us we're assholes for even saying the shit we just said.
please somebody anybody. I don't want to have to go to a mailroom and kill a guy just because I don't have any friends.
I know, because now I'm thinking like what top five we're gonna do. Top five guys with long fingernails in movies.
Oh, do we have to do something for 100 though? Maybe.
How about our top five episodes
of all time?
Who are we to judge our episodes though?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
maybe. Hey, someone calling?
Yeah, there you go.
Is that someone calling?
That was a text message.
Ah, damn.
That was not someone calling.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's terrible.
Hmm. Oh, well. I'm still having fun doing it.
All right. Thanks, everybody, once again. And you'll hear from us next month.
Peace.
Yep.